about. You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, and action.
Gotta wait for camera.
Oh, sorry. I knew that.
Camera's ready.
And action.
But you gotta wait for sound too, Todd.
Yeah, I knew that too.
Sound speeding.
And action.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Kevin Ryder and Gene Bean Baxter are a couple of wonderful radio men. Oh, yeah. They're called Kevin and Bean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wonderful and talented radio guys, and everybody loves to listen to them on the radio because they do such a good job on the radio. Kevin and Bean.
And now.
And that is the control room where the magic happens.
Is there magic happening?
I mean, metaphorical magic.
Oh, it's always metaphorical magic.
Our feature presentation.
I just want to start by saying, what?
I don't think you can say that. The second part of that bull.
The heat.
After the bull.
Heat.
Right. Good.
Right.
The word after bull.
Oh, yeah. That's changed now?
Yeah. It's in the last 2 weeks.
Last 2 weeks? Oh, that's a bummer.
How hot has it been?
I mean, at times, at my house, 113, 14.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't say
mm-hmm,
like it's nothing. He's like, mm-hmm.
No, I'm just...
My air conditioning went out. Thank you for asking.
Oh, no.
Sure. You know, like they do.
Of course.
When it's hot.
How long was the wait for someone to come out?
A couple days.
Oh.
Dude. 2 days, which is, by the way, pretty good.
It's pretty good during a heat wave.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you just went back to Las Vegas, right?
So that happened. Yeah, no kidding. At least in Las Vegas, I stayed inside.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it was. And then there was a power outage. I don't know if you...
I heard about that.
That night.
Yeah.
So that was good. So,
yeah.
Good times. So we can't say that word anymore is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
Yeah. You just said it again.
Oh.
Okay.
That's my bad.
Are you trying to get us fired?
Yep.
Is that what's happening here?
He's that hot.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 17th of July.
We are back. This is live. This is happening. This is not the best of. In fact, I think you'll agree after you hear today's show, this is in no way the best of. Why? What's happening now?
Bean, you're not here, but we walked in, and first of all, when you're tired from vacation and you walk into the studio and it smells like paint,
mm-hmm,
and it's black. Everything in here has been painted black. What's happening?
I heard that Cat Corbett almost passed out from the paint fumes one day while they were in there working. Because, you know, it's a small room, and they're in there just painting around you while you're trying to do your show.
It is a huge difference to walk into a room that has all black walls.
What happens?
Yeah. I mean, it really just feels like we're going emo.
Is that it?
Like I need to start wearing fishnets.
I think that's definitely emo.
Even better, Kevin, they're going to put dark tiles in.
On the roof?
Yep.
Oh,
all right.
It's the weirdest cave I've been in.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think indoors it's called a ceiling, by the way.
Oh. What did you say? On the roof?
The roof, yeah.
It's on roof.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. Maybe on the roof, too, Bean.
Yeah, that's true, too.
We don't know.
All right.
Bean.
So,
we're working in a tiny black box, basically, is what's happening.
I kind of like it. It's weird, but I kind of like it.
Ugh. It's not a nightclub, though. It's a
radio
studio.
I mean, we do need a disco ball.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we got a lot to get to today, but let me start with this. This is a very curious story, and as usual, I have many questions that are not addressed. Kevin, you still subscribe to Optometry Today, right? You still
get
that at the house?
Of course.
Well, this
I write a column.
This is a bizarre story about a 65-year-old woman who showed up at her scheduled routine cataract surgery appointment. And they prepare her to take her in for the surgery, and they are getting ready to inject anesthesia into her eye in the Solihull Hospital, southeast of Birmingham in England, when they noticed a bluish foreign body in her eye. Now, what could that be, you think?
Bluish?
A bluish foreign body in her eye.
Not like a contact. Like a color
exactly,
contact?
Exactly okay. like a contact.
It is?
They pulled out 27 contact lenses
from
her eye. She had 17 contact lenses that were clumped together, and then they found 10 other contact lenses also in her eye.
She must have been outraged. How many does it take? I put 27 in, for God's sakes.
She had been wearing monthly disposable contact lenses for 35 years, but apparently had missed a meeting or a lesson or something at some point along the way that is supposed to describe that you take one out when you put the other one in, right?
She thought disposable. It would just probably just go away in her eye.
I don't know if that's what she thought or not. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because after 35 years of contacts, there would be way more in her eye if that's what she thought. So I feel like at some point she took them out, but sometimes maybe she... You know, they're so tiny now and thin. It's not like the old hard contacts that people used to have to wear, that I wonder if someday she put her finger in, ran it over her eye, and thought the contact came out and thought, oh, I'll put another one in now, and didn't realize it hadn't come out. Maybe that was, well, she had a problem with her vision, maybe, so she didn't tell whether she was pulling it out or not. So 27 contact lenses in her eyes. She had not complained about any irritation, by the way. They did not do the surgery that day. She was sent home, and 2 weeks later came back for another appointment, and she felt fine. She said she had thought the previous discomfort that she had felt was just part of old age and thought she had dry eyes. So she didn't think there was anything exceptional going on in her eye. But doesn't this make you wonder about whoever the referring doctor was that sent her? Because you got to go see an eye doctor before you go to a cataract surgery. So at some point, she went to a doctor who she wanted to get the referral for the surgery. Shouldn't that doctor have examined her and seen this? This should have been figured out long before she got to the cataract surgery.
Yeah, you would think so,
But it's a very bizarre story, by the way.
27.
27 contact lenses in her eye.
I mean, one more. Maybe it would have worked.
I don't think that's the... But
is that not what we're saying?
I don't think that's the takeaway, Kevin.
Okay.
No.
All right. She should have had the best vision in the world, though.
Right?
But anyway, so stop it.
Stop it. Okay. That's the takeaway. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Let's hear the genius that keeps you guys locked in a solid fifth place in the ratings every week.
we're shooting for fifth, by the way. Zachary Levi is on the program today. Love him so much. Talking about Comic-Con this weekend.
Yeah, I think he's doing some live on the Sci-Fi Channel work from San Diego every night.
He is indeed. Adam Carolla will be on the program today. We are going to talk about Bean's podcast, which I have not heard, but I have heard from other people that it is genius.
There's a whole range of emotions from Bean's podcast.
All I saw was genius and gold.
I love it.
I didn't see any negative comments.
No.
Are there some?
I don't believe so.
Okay. The Pope.
Oh, you guys haven't met Ralph Garman?
Let's just hold off on that until I hear the highlights, because I don't want to isolate Ralph as being the only one that didn't like it. Until I hear it.
Okay.
Right. That's fair, right?
All right.
We've got tickets for Comic-Con, speaking of that. We have What's Up with Florida on the program today, and we're going to talk to TMZ, our good friend Van Lathan.
Who?
On the program today. I'm not exactly sure who that is, but I assume he works at TMZ. So we're going to talk to him coming up in the 6 o'clock hour like we do on Mondays. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Ralph, we're going to have to address this at some point, but do you get the impression that if in Kevin's perfect world, people would be put down at a certain age?
Sure, he sure seems to get surprised that people get older as time moves forward.
They're not allowed
hasn't really
to get old.
Grasped that concept, I know that much.
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying he doesn't.
Now he's like older than he was before when I saw him.
I'm fine with that, but I just
what's the guy going to do?
At some point, maybe retire. That's the people that keep doing what they're doing at that age that sort of drives me crazy.
You see no irony in you saying that, by the way.
No, I do not. No.
We're still
looking at him as he said it, like, are you getting this?
Yeah, you might want to pedal back on
understand.
That
one. I understand what you're laughing
But
at.
Why is it okay for us to be old and still keep plying our trade, still getting them going to work every
morning? Because
every
we're still this good.
Oh, I see.
I didn't realize.
Okay,
that's
all right.
Why.
Well, we'll save that for another day because Kevin has very odd thoughts about people getting old.
Kevin's gone bye-bye.
At a certain point, you can't do what you do anymore either. I didn't know that was the rule. I didn't know you had to stop doing what you love because you get older.
I'm saying, like Muhammad Ali, for example, mm-hmm. when he aged out, he couldn't keep doing.
Well, he got it debilitating disease.
Right, along with as much as brain damage out.
Both.
Yeah.
Both
but
happened.
I did say what we were referring to was a singer, and I said, "Can he still hit those notes?"
It was a singer of REO Speedwagon.
Right.
Can he still hit those notes? And you're like, "Yeah."
Yeah. So that's the exact reason why he shouldn't stop what he's doing, because his skill set is not that diminished.
I think he's fake. I think he's a robot. I don't think he's a real person. So let's move on.
Oh, my God.
Can we also discuss why Kevin thinks putting on fishnet stockings will make him emo?
Yep.
How is that? What is that? How is that a thing?
It's amazing, wasn't
it? How is emo the same thing as cross-dressing?
Well, Omar told us that he used to be emo, and he had a shirt that was
fishnet gloves, he said he would wear. Fishnet gloves.
Okay, well, so I got confused about gloves and a shirt. What's the difference?
No, you got confused.
No, fishnets are neither gloves nor
stockings.
Shirts. They're stockings. Fishnets are stockings.
Look at his face.
They're wide weave, sexy black stockings that strippers or hookers wear.
I see. Okay.
No, you don't see. That's not emo.
Fire must cleanse us.
I'm going to take that as a win.
My blood pressure last week was perfect.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
This week, spiking.
We just started.
We're not even on the air yet. The show didn't even start till 6. This is just the pre-roll.
Stroke out.
Ralph, thank you for holding down the fort while we were gone those 8 days. We appreciate it very much.
It was seriously my pleasure.
All right.
It really was. It was a fun week. It was very nice.
Uh-huh. Well, the listeners very much enjoyed you being there. So
very
thank
relaxed.
You.
Nice to have a little new in with the best of, I always think.
All right, let's take a look at what's happening on this Monday morning.
Before I do that, let me give you something. If you want to spend an evening listening to the kind of magic that comes out of Kevin's mouth that has come out this morning, you can do so at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino.
Yeah!
When you play poker with Kevin at K-Rock's Guy's Night Out.
When is that, Kevin?
That's this Friday night, Allie.
This Friday night, Kevin will be playing poker with you, the K-Rock listener, and you will sit at his table, and you'll play poker, and you'll hear gems like, I'm a limo with fishnets. And that guy's old. He just stopped doing what he loves. You'll hear those kind of things as he tries to bluff your money away from you. If you'd like to go, why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Play at Kevin's table at K-Rock's Guy's Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Friday. You also get $200 in chips.
You don't have to play with your own money.
Nope. And Beer Mug will be there to meet and greet with you as well. Dave's going to be there. It's going to be spectacular. So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. You got to be 21 years of age or older, however, so let's be caller number 21. How about that? Caller number 21, Ruben, if you're listening to the other room. All right, let's talk about entertainment news. It is a Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. War for the Planet of the Apes won the war for the top of the box office. A lot of people were suspecting, will Spider-Man hang on? Will the apes knock Spidey off the top of the tower? Wow, sounds like a good movie, by the way. $56.5 million put Planet of the Apes at number one this week.
Who wins if Spider-Man takes on Caesar?
Oh, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man still is. All right.
Come on.
Please.
Spider-Man
Caesar all day.
Spider-Man Homecoming was number two at the box office with another $45.2 million. Not bad second place. Despicable Me 3, Baby Driver, and The Big Sick were the top five films. Wonder Woman was number six. Wish Upon. Oh, I can't watch that. It's too scary. Cars 3, Transformers, The Last Night, and The House.
The Big Sick was number five?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Only with $7.6 million, though.
But come on. Who's with me?
No, I don't quite understand what you're saying.
I'm
the Big
you.
Sick coming in number five.
It came in at number five because the top two films took so much of the box office that lesser films who weren't making much were able to move up in the ranks.
Well, I still say good job.
Okay. Remember last week, Chip?
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Are those the good times?
Those were the good times. Aww. Sad news. Well, lost two legends over the weekend.
Yeah.
George Romero, who pretty much invented zombies. That's all. Just sort of created the zombies. There's no Walking Dead. There's no zombie movies. No zombie TV shows or comics without this guy who in 1968 did a movie called Night of the Living Dead, which started the whole thing off and became an instant cult classic. Then Dawn of the Dead, of course. Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, Survival of the Dead. He likes them dead. George Romero passed away at 77 years old on Sunday. And Martin Landau, terrific actor, star on television of Mission Impossible. But did a bunch of other stuff, too. He was in classic movies like North by Northwest and Crimes and Misdemeanors with Woody Allen. His work in Ed Wood won him an Oscar.
That's the one you would know, Kevin. Ed Wood, remember?
Yeah.
With Johnny Depp, Tim Burton directed film. Outstanding actor.
Terrific actor. 89. Worked right till the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And was part of the Actors Studio back in New York back in the early days. And really just stage, screen, television, did it all. And he was just a classic, 89 years old.
Real sad.
All right. I'm out of time, Rudy. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Sutherland, speaking of a classic actor, 82 years old today. The Hoff, David Hasselhoff. How does the Hoff celebrate a birthday?
Right.
That separates it from the rest of his time.
You know the Hoff loves to rock.
He rocks.
I think he goes to Funner, California, and just...
Mayors
pool,
it up.
Just pool... What happens to him? Mayors it up.
It up.
Uh-huh. Goes poolside and just wait for those fun police to come by and give him citations.
This is a mess.
65 years old today. Mark Burnett, producer of Survivor and many other television shows.
But not Jingles.
Not goddamn Jingles. Ugh.
You guys might have to let that go.
No, I'm not letting it go.
He told us about a TV show called Jingles.
It's a genius idea.
7 years ago? Maybe?
Right, so just do it. You know what he did instead? The freaking pirate ship.
What did you guys do? That one slipped,
it
too.
It did. I slipped out. That was just me. That piece of crap.
Good Lord.
That pirate show.
Poor Casey.
Pirate Island or Stabby McGee or whatever it was called. Pirate chest with knives and a boat and stuff. No one remembers
sound
this.
Good. I don't remember it at all. No. I would have watched it, though, it seems
no,
like.
No, you wouldn't have.
I
no
feel
one
like
did.
I would have watched it once.
Luke Bryan, the country singer, is 41 years old today. And actress Billie Lourd, you probably know her best as the daughter of Princess Leia herself, Carrie Fisher. It's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We'll be checking in with TMZ.com. Find out what's going on over there in a few minutes. What's up with Florida Leader this hour? And just after 7 o'clock, about an hour from right now, we got your tickets to Comic-Con this weekend. Hey, Kevin, you and Ralph are going out to Comic-Con, right?
I'm not positive I'm going to make it.
Don't have the details yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
I would have to go Saturday because I'm playing poker Friday night.
Right. It's a big, big deal, and as you know, it's a ticket that sells out instantly, so the fact that we have a chance to give some away every day this week on the Kevin Bean Show is awesome, so if that sounds like something you'd like, stick around.
We were on vacation. And I don't know what Bean's vacation plans were, but I know that Allie's were pretty spectacular.
Yeah, they were pretty good. I had a great time.
Tell us what you did.
I flew to London, hung out with some friends for a few days. And then while I was in London, one of my friends that I was going to see was going to be busy for like the first 3 days of my trip. In comes my very good friend, Michelle Beadle, who said, "Why don't you come to Amalfi, Italy for those few days?" Well, that sounds good.
Right.
So I flew down to Italy for 3 days, went all around Amalfi and Positano and just the most ridiculous places I've ever seen. And then went back to London and saw The Killers, Elbow, Tears for Fears, and then the next night saw U2. So it was pretty awesome. It was pretty much the greatest trip ever.
Wow.
I saw Bean's wife.
How is she?
She was in London.
She is
lovely. She's a wonderful woman. Had a great time with Bean's wife.
Right. What's it like going on vacation with her?
It was pretty nice. We talked about you a little bit. Like, oh, Bean would like this. Should you call him? No, he's sleeping.
Is she still there?
I don't believe she's still there.
Okay.
She said
she
had somewhere else to be.
Because she's not here yet.
Oh, no.
So I just like to clarify. Bean had 2 weeks off.
Yes.
So he wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
And his wife was in London.
Right. Right.
By herself.
Right. Well, no, with a friend.
Right,
she
but
had a friend.
Not with
Not
Bean,
with her husband,
who
no.
had time off to go someplace.
Sure.
Okay. I think she looked at it as a good opportunity to get out of the house when I was going to be in the house a lot.
I'm just clarifying, like, there. Maybe you would have thought, hey, I should go along, that sounds cool.
I wasn't invited. Allie, you had never been to London before.
I had not.
Now, it is... my favorite city in the world, I think. I think it's the greatest city there is. I really do. And it's
that's
one of those
cities. That's why you went with your wife.
Again,
when
you
had time off.
Again, not invited.
It's impossible to see and do all the things that there are in London in just a few days.
Especially if you don't go.
But but did you see anything or did you see anything in the city, or were you just there for concerts mostly?
Like touristy things like Big Ben? And I did the South Bank. I did the Parliament. I did the Abbey thing. What is that?
Westminster Abbey?
Yes, I did that.
I love Westminster Abbey.
The Abbey thing.
Here's the thing. You go.
Did you nail Prince Harry?
I wish.
Okay.
You go, you look at stuff. I'm not the type of person to be like, wow, this is great. My response to seeing these beautiful things was, wow, that gold is tacky. And I would take a quick picture. But for me, like, people want to go to the museums. They want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to walk around Soho and dip into this bar. And, ooh, this is an interesting place. I want to walk around.
There needs
around,
to be a drink everywhere she goes.
I want to walk around Notting Hill and be like, oh, this is lovely. Check out that bar. And see,
I'm seeing a theme now. Okay.
See, that type of vacation, that's my type of vacation.
So less National History Museum and more find me a bar.
I will say this. I went on a jaunt with Bean's wife and her friend and Christine, and I didn't hear Christine Fung was there too.
What's happening?
I know this whole trip was just bizarre. So we went to
Bean and I were the only two people not invited
pretty much, but we went to Royal Albert Hall,
which is the famous concert venue.
Yeah.
Nope, not where we went. That's where I thought we were going. Oh. We went to, where'd we go? See, now I'm getting confused. Mm. But we walked in and it was a museum.
Oh, the Victoria and Albert Museum.
That one. Yeah, I just heard Albert.
That's one of the greatest museums in the world.
Right. I got confused. So I walked in and I was like, wait, we're in a museum, you guys. They're like, right. We're here for the Balenciaga exhibit.
This is a problem with people who drink a lot.
And I literally was like, what do you mean Balenciaga exhibit? They're like, we're going to go through the history of fashion. And I'm like, F this. And I literally walked out, got in a cab, and went to Notting Hill. I was like, what is happening? I heard Albert, and I thought we were going to the concert hall, and that would be cool to see. But no.
No museums
they
for you.
They wanted to go to a museum and look at the history of fashion, which apparently was lovely, and they had a great time. But I had a lovely time having cocktails in Notting Hill.
Did you go up on the London Eye by any chance?
No, but I was
right by it.
And was like, hey, look at all those people paying a ton to go in that little tube.
It's a pretty great view.
Yeah,
there.
It is. I had my friend Greg was showing me around to some of the sites, and luckily a lot of the sites, he's like, that Marriott has a great bar. I'm like, cool, Greg, let's go there.
That's why he's your friend.
That is why he's my friend. That is why.
There's people who I know that go to London about 24 hours in, they go, I could live here.
Oh, it didn't take that long.
Oh, really? Do you feel that way, too?
Absolutely.
Bean wants to move there.
Yeah.
I'd like to go
Which
back.
Which is why it's odd that he didn't go these last 2 days.
Yeah, not invited.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, I was very excited because I knew you were going back to the World Series of Poker.
I got to be honest, I don't feel like we have time for anyone else's story right now.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Yeah, we could do it later, but I mean, that was...
We'll do it later. You won, so we want to hear about it.
I mean, yeah, I won.
Yeah. Did you win?
Sure.
I'll just tell you this real quick because we got to take a break. My brother went to visit my dad in Las Vegas over the 4th of July
holiday.
Oh,
so you went
weekend.
With him.
I was not invited to that.
Okay. They,
I did offer to go, but my dad said, no, we're all full out. We've got a pretty busy schedule over here. But while he was there, he ran out to, what's the name of it? It's near my dad's house. The Santa Fe, I want to say.
Is that supposed
called?
To help us? It's near your dad's house?
In my mind, I always try to think of it. I think it's called the Santa Fe Casino. So he ran out one afternoon to play some slot machines and was playing the dollar slots and won $8,000.
Wow!
On the dollar slot.
Awesome.
Son of a bitch.
I don't know anybody who's won $8,000 on a slot machine in Las Vegas, but it happened to my little brother over the holiday.
It's incredible.
You always hear about other people winning, but every once in a while.
Did you like high five? Oh, wait, you weren't there.
I wasn't there. If it's the week of Comic-Con, you know we've got our friend Zachary Levi on the program coming up later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll check in with the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, and what's up with Florida in minutes. Shall we go out to TMZ.com, find out what's happening in the newsroom? Van Lathan on the phone. Hey, Van, what's going on, man?
What's fine with you guys, man? What's up?
It's a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Where's the boss? What's Harvey off doing?
some more count money. I don't know what rich guys do when they're not at work.
But you know what? It drives me crazy when people are supposed to be working and they go on vacation. You know?
Yeah.
That really sucks.
We just got back. Kevin, we've been gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's
our
right.
First show back. So, Van, a lot of great stuff on the site, but I want to start, if you don't mind, I just want to find out what you know about a developing story that is the trending topic all over the world today about R. Kelly being involved in some sort of crazy cult with a bunch of women held against their will, possibly in his home. What is this deal?
We're just beginning to kind of dig around into this thing, kind of find out what's what. Obviously, we're going to make sure to try to talk to families involved in this situation. And we should say that all of these are allegations right now. But
certainly,
I guess the allegations are that R. Kelly has a web and sort of a network of young women that he has in two different places, one in Atlanta and one in Chicago. And he basically lords over them as if he was a cult leader, like a Branch Davidian Waco type situation, where he controls what they eat, he controls what they wear, he controls.
So they can't leave.
Allegedly, they can't leave.
Okay.
The parents in this situation, they specifically mentioned in the BuzzFeed article that all of this is originating from. The parents in this situation, one lady says that she hasn't spoken to her daughter since December. Even during the time that she spoke to her, it was like one line in a text message. And Rob, who she refers to, I guess that's R. Kelly, only allows them to contact their people outside of his network when he says it's okay.
Wow.
Are these girls of age or are they younger?
Yes. So in this situation, they all seem to be of age. And in these particular states, Atlanta and Chicago, the ages of consent are 16 and 17. But all of these girls are way older than that at this point anyway. They also spoke to people in R. Kelly's inner circle, formerly in his inner circle, like managers and people like that. They're sort of corroborating these stories and saying that there's some truth to this. Now, once again, this should all be taken as allegations right now, because there's none of this stuff is illegal, right? It's not illegal for someone to these people are adults, so if they don't want to leave, you can't really make them leave. So none of this stuff is illegal.
That's allegedly a lot of pee.
That's allegedly a lot of pee.
Right?
You know what the point is? You know the thing is this. So these things come out, and we start, like, talking about them as if they're ironclad facts. And the reason why is it's impossible to be on the side of defending R. Kelly at this point.
It is.
It's a weird thing, but it's once again, it's Monday morning. Story just broke. It's just the beginning. Here at TMZ, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
I appreciate that. On the phone with Van Lathan, TMZ.com newsroom. Let's talk Aaron Carter, because there are a lot of angles to this story that it's sad over here, but also funny over there, right?
Always is with Aaron Carter. he says that his DUI that he got at AutoZone, first of all.
It's a party there. I don't know if you've been there recently.
AutoZone is a party?
I had AutoZone, and I'm just throwing down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, y'all get lit at AutoZone?
I don't know. It's weird.
Aaron, come on, dog. He says he was in an AutoZone in Cornelia, Georgia. He says that they targeted him because he was famous. He says,
who would recognize Aaron Carter?
He thinks he's a major celebrity to the degree that he can't even go to AutoZone and get turned up without somebody, the cops coming over here and harassing him.
Van, I got to tell you, though, on your site, it looked like an hour earlier, you have him talking about Shia LaBeouf getting in trouble and him saying, A, he doesn't drink, and B, he'll never get a DUI.
And then that's what you put out in the universe. What happens then?
That's crazy.
DUI. Here's another part of this story. We have a Carter Civil War now.
Uh-oh.
Because Aaron then blasted his older brother Nick Carter because Nick tweeted about the incident. Aaron says, if my own blood truly cared about me and my well-being, he would call me instead of blasting me on Twitter. So, man, the Carter brothers are going at each other. He's getting lit at AutoZone. It's all crazy.
White people, right, Van? Am I right?
I didn't want to say it.
I didn't want to say it. You can say it here. I need to go to AutoZone. That's all I know.
Apparently so. All right. Look for TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. Like usual, don't forget the TMZ Live featuring Van Lathan and others. It airs Monday through Friday at 4 on same channel 11. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Enjoyed the chat, sir. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Minutes away from Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat, and then your tickets for Comic-Con coming up on K-Rock. First, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
When I first saw this story, I was convinced it must be some sort of studio tie-in to promote the new Planet of the Apes movie. But in fact, it appears to be real. In St. Petersburg, Florida, they have had to close significant sections of the Silver Springs State Park there because it has been overrun by monkeys.
All right.
Kevin, I feel like you need to get on a plane and go to St. Petersburg.
Agreed. I need to get me a monkey.
I have many questions about this story. These are non-native rhesus macaque monkeys. There are 150 to 200 of these wild monkeys living in the park and more outside the park as well. They have had to close two different walking areas, an observation deck and a boardwalk. These monkeys have taken over. They have drawn a line and said, this is our territory. No humans allowed. They're attacking people. There have been 18 confirmed reports of bites and scratches from the animals since they arrived at the park. They just showed up out of nowhere.
I saw this in the movie theater this weekend. It's called War for the Planet of the Apes.
This is what I'm telling you.
This is real.
This is real. This actually happened. They're not native to Florida. Where did they come from? Why are they there? And what is their plan?
Oh, we know their plan.
My favorite part of the story, though, is that experts warn that these monkeys can carry and transmit herpes B virus. There is no evidence that anyone has gotten sick from the monkeys yet. But look, we've all had difficult conversations with our significant others.
Right.
Look, can you imagine this?
Yes. Yes, it's herpes. Yeah, yes. Okay.
I was in St. Petersburg.
But it was from a monkey.
Got bit by a monkey. Not my fault.
Having to have that conversation. Beware if you're going to the Silver Springs Park in St. Petersburg. It's just the craziest story.
How'd they get there?
That's what I want to know. And 200 of them, by the way. That's almost like they showed up on a pontoon or something like that. They've invaded America.
On a pontoon.
A 38-year-old Jacksonville man accidentally shot himself in the penis when he sat down on his gun, according to a Jacksonville Sheriff's Office report. The man's girlfriend told police that he was sitting outside his Freedom Crossing Trail apartment in a car and then suddenly ran inside in a panic. His girlfriend approached him in the bathroom and saw that he had a gunshot wound, so she called 911. He said he had accidentally set his firearm off when he sat on it in the driver's seat of his vehicle.
Oh, man.
Yes. Here's a
yes or no. I'm a no.
That's a hard pass on that. This is an odd story, by the way. Ashley Curtis, Apopka, Florida is the city. Unfamiliar with that. She took a Lyft last Friday night. She's a frequent Lyft customer. She says she's used the service about 25 times, has never had an issue before. She only went about a mile. It was a $6 and $20 fee. She paid and, you know, on the app, went on her way. However, when she looked at her bank statement on Monday, she noticed that Lyft had charged her an extra $150 for damage to their vehicle. Now, my first question is, do you guys ever check after an Uber or a Lyft ride to find out how much you're charged?
Very rarely.
I mean, kind of assume the system is set up the way it works.
They
right?
send you the receipt, though, in the email.
Uber does, yeah. I don't know about Lyft. Same?
Oh, I don't know about Lyft. I'm sorry. That's Uber.
So she called Lyft to dispute the charges, and they said, hey, look, we sent you an email, which the lady didn't get, by the way. The customer did not get because it went to her spam folder, that said that they were accusing her of urinating in the backseat of the Lyft. They sent a picture that was taken at 12:55 a.m., even though her ride ended an hour and a half before. So she's like, look, I didn't pee in your car, and how can you accuse me of this, with this photo that was taken an hour and a half later? Who knows how many people came in the car after me? So she's disputing. She says she did not urinate in the car. She said, I was only in the car for 3 minutes. You can check that. You can see that that's the case. And an hour and a half later, you're accusing me of urinating in the car. They're trying to charge her $150 for it.
That's crazy.
If she didn't do it, That's no bueno, right?
Right.
I think it's no bueno either way.
Very, very Florida, by the way, that there's a story involving peeing in the back of a car. I like that. Here's another story that involves a car. Look, Kevin, you mentioned we came on today. It has been unbearably hot in so much of Southern California and so many parts of America. And this is a good time to mention, in all seriousness, don't leave your kids or your pets in a car.
It's shocking that still needs to be said ever.
Every single year, kids and pets die as a result of being left in the car. Now, fortunately, this little five-year-old who was sitting in a Hyundai is fine. And by the way, his mom ran into a dollar store on South Ridgewood Avenue in South Daytona last week, left her son in the car because she said he didn't want to come in. He just wanted to wait for her while she was in the car. She even had the driver's side window down and one of the back windows cracked, too. So it doesn't seem like she was being especially neglectful or trying to injure this kid, okay? Mm-hmm. However, she was in the store for over 30 minutes, and somebody came by and saw that the kid was in the car and looked uncomfortable. The car was parked in direct sunlight without any shade, and they called the police. And the police showed up, got the kid out of the car, and arrested the woman, checked the temperature inside the vehicle, which was 107 degrees, by the way.
Wow.
For 30 minutes, 107 degrees for anybody is going to be way uncomfortable. Yeah. I think the reason this story made the news is while the woman was being arrested and driven to jail, she complained to the officers, please turn on the air conditioning. It's too hot in the back of your cruiser.
Wow. And then she peed.
She is facing child neglect charges and has been jailed on $5,000 bond. All right, we have one more story for you, and this is we've got audio from the news, and I love this newscaster so much because he puts the emphasis on all the wrong words.
Excellent.
But I think you'll enjoy the story.
A woman attempted to chew on a bag of methamphetamine that was found in her buttocks during her booking into a Florida jail.
Okay.
Wait, what? One more time.
Found in her buttocks?
It was found in her buttocks, yes.
Okay.
One more time.
30-year-old,
whoops, here we go.
A woman attempted to chew on a bag of methamphetamine that was found in her buttocks during her booking into a Florida jail.
In her buttocks. How's her buttocks?
I love it.
That really 30-year-old Summer Adamson was arrested over the weekend, accused of breaking a car window in Naples. Deputies said a syringe and heroin were found next to Adamson inside the car. During a pat-down in jail, Adamson allegedly grabbed a drug bag he found in her bottom, put it in her mouth.
By the way, what was the last time you heard the butt they referred to as a bottom? This guy is new to English, right?
He's not good.
And started chewing. Adamson faces charges that include drug possession, smuggling contraband into jail, and tampering with evidence.
He also sounds like he has a mouthful of cotton, too, while he's
does.
Reading it. That story, Reed, was not a success, but this has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin Beach Show at 6:54. Don't hold your nose,
this
Ralph.
Show
come on,
stinks.
Come on now.
This show stinks.
Come on, we're still friends.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Yeah,
you come bearing gifts today
in a
major way.
That's right, bitches.
This is the hottest thing in the world right now. You're
making it
about
rain,
to get away.
Right? Making it rain. Here's the thing: you can't go to Comic-Con. You can't get there. Because when they put the tickets on sale, in about 14 seconds, they're sold out.
And don't they sell them to people who've been there before first?
People get to queue up first who have been there before.
So you don't really have a chance lot of people.
No, you go online and then just boom, the door slams in your face. Oh, what do I got? Oh, I got 5 pairs of tickets to give away to Comic-Con.
Yeah! All right.
Every day.
All right.
Every day.
I heard you. All right. That's great.
It is great. And I'm going to be giving them out to true geeks. With a little game, we're going to play a game after the top of the hour. And if you know your comic book superhero history, then this would be a good time for you to call 1-800-520-1067 and get in line to play our game where we talk about the history of some of your favorite comic book characters.
All right.
6:55, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of Comic-Con, I will be down there this weekend. We'll give people a heads up, a little bit of my itinerary if you want to come out and hang.
Ralph will buy you drinks for everyone. Just find him.
I don't know.
He'll
about
buy you
that.
Drinks.
But I do know Thursday evening, I will be part of a panel that would be paying tribute to the late, great Adam West. We're doing a special tribute panel with the folks at Warner Brothers and DC Entertainment. It's me, and Seth MacFarlane's going to put together a little reel from Family Guy footage of Adam recording that. Kevin Smith's going to be on board. Lee Merriweather, the Catwoman from the 1960s Batman movie, she's going to be on the panel, and we're all going to be talking about the life and legacy of Adam West. That's Thursday night.
That sounds great.
It will be great. Friday, I will be hosting the panel where we celebrate the new Amazon series, The Tick. We'll be talking to the creator and stars of that program that debuts on Amazon on August 25th. The pilot's already been on, but I've seen some of the episodes, and it's hilarious, starring Peter Serafinowicz, and it's going to be a great. We're going to show the second episode and also do a panel for that. That's Thursday. That's Friday day, and they have a big installation across the street, by the way, where you get to go inside the Tick's mind. It's very cool. Friday night, Hollywood Babylon, already sold out down there in the Gas Lamp District, which is awesome. Saturday afternoon, I will be moderating the Family Guy panel with Seth MacFarlane and all my pals from that show. So if you're down there, love to have you come out and come to one of the panels and hang out and see me and say hi. And we're going to have a good time.
Drinks for everybody.
And Kevin said he's going to.
That's nice.
Kevin's going to send me his credit card so we can get drinks for him.
So, Ralph, will you be here on the Kevin and Bean Show Monday morning, or is that last minute your way of telling us you're calling in sick Monday?
And Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday.
They're pretty exhausting schedule, is what I'm saying.
I'll be here Monday. Yeah, because I'll be home Sunday. And so rest up then.
All right.
Speaking of geek stuff, big news over the weekend. The 13th Doctor has been named. Pretty exciting, right?
This is for Doctor Who?
Doctor Who, indeed, Kevin. Peter Capaldi, of course, is leaving the show in this year's Christmas special. The Doctor never dies. He just regenerates. And for the first time,
Bobo,
we're going to have a female Doctor on the series.
Oh, I'll bet the internet went crazy
there
with
was
that.
There was some argument on the internet regarding the appropriateness of the casting. The actress who is playing the new Doctor is named...
Hi, it's Kat.
No, it's not Kat at all.
Okay.
It is Jodie Whittaker. Jodie Whittaker, not really well-known here in the States, but a big star in the UK. She is in the series Broadchurch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's wonderful in that show. I've watched all three seasons.
Which
she's
also,
Beth.
Yes, she is Beth. Which also stars as her co-star in Broadchurch, an actor named David Tennant.
But he was also the Doctor.
Yes, so it's all staying in the family. So big news. And a lot of people online were unhappy.
Yeah, those people all need to go away.
There was a female Doctor.
All of those people need to go away.
I don't know, a penis can turn into a vagina. How does that happen?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out the Doctor's not a human being. He's an alien, and it's really part of his character that he becomes a brand new person every time. There's no reason why he couldn't be a woman. Well, space travel's no place for women. No, sorry. Time travel's no place for women, was one quote from the Daily Mail in the UK.
Oh, my God.
That's true. All the time traveling so far that has been done really has been dominated by men until now. It's true. That's a good point, dumbasses.
But don't their companions time travel, too? And
yes.
They are indeed women.
Since 1962, Allie.
Okay. You're using logic.
There's usually
been
a woman in the TARDIS alongside of the Doctor, so. Yeah, it's nuts. Crazy.
She's a good actress, you guys. Right.
Remember her in Attack the Block?
Yeah, she's very popular in that.
Amazing.
Yes.
And wasn't she also in a I never saw it, but a quite acclaimed episode of The Black Mirror, too, she was in. And apparently people loved her from that.
Bean's doing a deep dive on Jodie Whittaker. I was
excited by the news.
That was Bean's
Fun Fact.
Speaking of Bean's Fun Facts, don't go anywhere today.
What?
On the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
Until you hear me break down Bean's new podcast. Don't do anything. Don't go anywhere.
Don't
go to work.
Necessary.
Don't go to school. Whatever you have to do, don't miss my in-depth reporting on Bean's new podcast.
I'm excited by this because I didn't hear it. So I'm thrilled. I can't wait.
I didn't hear it either until I was assigned it.
Oh.
By the listenership.
Can we do it next or do we have to do...
Have you heard? You need to go and you need to talk and listen and do.
Can we do it next or do we have to do Comic-Con?
We're going
to
do Comic-Con. We're going to do it later on in the show. I think in the 8 o'clock hour, I think we're going to break it down.
Right. I think it was very consistent with the type of material that I present here air on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Excellent.
Can't wait.
I think it was very consistent with the kind of stuff you try to talk about here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Absolutely. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I'll save it. I'm bursting at the seams, as you can tell.
So you loved it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Sutherland is 82 years old today. I did love it, but maybe not for the reasons you might think. David Hasselhoff, 65. Mark Burnett is 57. Luke Bryan, country singer, is 41. And actress Billie Lourd, also known as the daughter of legendary Carrie Fisher, is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, I think it's your influence, but we are really Comic-Conning it up this week. We've got Zachary Levi talking about what he's got going on down there in San Diego later on the show. We're going to talk to a guy this hour who's going to tell you how you can party in person with Stan Lee. That's pretty amazing.
Yep.
And right now, you come in with Comic-Con passes to give away.
Yeah, it's impossible to get these tickets. The San Diego Comic-Con at the Convention Center down there in San Diego, it sells out instantly every year. People are scrambling, trying to get in. We're just giving tickets away today. But you're going to have to earn them because I want to give them to somebody who really knows their comic book history. If it wasn't for the men and women who created these characters, lo, these many years ago, we wouldn't even been having this convention. So I thought it'd be fun to take a look at some comic creators.
Oh, yes, they're comic creators. Ooh. Their creations will live on and on. Ooh. If you play the game and you know the name, you might just go to Comic-Con.
Comic creators. These men and women created our favorite comic book characters many years ago. If you know the creators, I will give you the creators and a little trivia about the character, and you need to name the comic book character they created.
All right, fair enough. You're playing for a pair of one-day passes to San Diego Comic-Con at San Diego Convention Center starting Thursday through Sunday. Passes are sold out. Who's our first contestant, please?
Tiffany in Paris is a scribe at a hospital. I don't even know what that is.
Scribe. She has a feather. She has a feather pen. She dips it in an inkwell, and she writes in calligraphy the big scrolls that they use there at the hospital.
That's cool, Tiffany.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. Yeah.
Are you a comic book fan, Tiffany?
I am. Probably not as hardcore as you are, but we'll see what I can do.
All right. I'm going to give you the name of some comic book creators, and you try to name the comic book character that they created, okay?
Okay.
All right. Joe Simon and Jack Kirby created this star-spangled character in 1941 as a response to World War II.
Is it Captain America?
It is Captain America.
Comic creators.
Nicely done.
And guess what? You've got passes. You win.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. Today's my birthday, so awesome.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We've got five pairs, so if you get a correct answer, boom, you win, you're in.
All right, let's go to Tim in Placentia, works in IT. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good, Tim. Tim, in 2015, it was revealed that Bill Finger would also be receiving credit for his role in creating a character that used to be solely attributed to a guy named Bob Kane. Do you know what character that is?
Oh, this is a softball. It's Batman.
It is Batman indeed, sir.
Comic creators.
No drawing. You just got tickets.
That's right. You win.
That's awesome.
You're going. Thank you.
Congrats.
And I appreciate your condescension, too. That was charming. We enjoyed that enormously.
All right. Two for two. Let's burn Bean here with a guy that works for the post office. It's Brian in Linwood. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good.
Brian, you're not one of those guys who steals mail, though, and you have 100,000 unopened letters in your basement, are you?
Negative.
Okay, good.
You're not one of them.
It's a good
question.
That?
It's a good question, though.
You see it all the time in the news.
You hear that like once every 20 years.
You see it all the time in the news.
Mailmen are always hoarding mail. Oh, it's too heavy. It's too hard to deliver all this mail. I'm just going to throw it in the back of my van.
That's not Brian.
You're not one of those many guys, are you, Brian?
No, not at all.
Oh, good. I'm glad to know you're one of the hundreds who do that in the postal service.
I feel like we may be off topic.
70% of mailmen steal mail.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Ridiculous.
Brian, here's your question. This character was created in 1942 by American psychologist and writer William Moulton Marsden and was inspired by his wife, Elizabeth, and their lover, Olive Byrne. Yeah, a little three-way action.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm talking
about. Okay, all right.
Do you know the name of the character?
Did I get any hint about the character?
I gave you a hint about the character.
It was inspired by a woman, if that helps you.
Inspired by his wife and their lover, Olive.
Olive.
Okay. All right, now. Thank you so much.
Was it Olive Woman?
Stop was it Elizabeth Woman?
Stop stealing all that mail, Brian. It was Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was the comic character.
Creators.
I just felt like that was enough of a hint to guess a woman. You know,
I would say. And Mary psychologist. He invented the lie detector as well. It's just his love.
All right. We gave away two pairs, so we still have three. We have an engineer from Ontario. Bob is on the line. An engineer. What
happened? Okay.
Hey, Bob.
Hello?
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Here's your question.
Yeah, what's up?
Here's your question. Created by Stan Lee and artist Steve Ditko in 1962, this is thought to be the first teenage superhero.
Spider-Man
is correct.
Comic creators.
You're going to Comic-Con. Boom. You got tickets.
Yes.
Nicely done. Let's go to Joseph in La Habra. He remodels pools.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You got to get those papers, right, Joe?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, how about those tiles? Did the tiles come in?
Doing a lot of pebble teching.
Right?
The surface.
Joseph, you there?
Use that. You got to sand down that surface first.
Hey, are you there, Joseph?
Yeah, sorry. No, I'm at work right now.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're remodeling pools.
Okay.
Here's your question. Speaking of teenagers, this character was created by two high school students living in Cleveland, Ohio in 1938. The guys' names were Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster. Do you know the character they created? Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster.
1938 is a pretty good hint. It's kind of a significant year in comic book history.
Two high school students.
Superman
is correct. Yes.
Comic creators.
You're going. Okay.
All right.
Nicely done.
Good luck resurfacing that pool.
I missed the Bob days now.
Yeah, really?
All right, this is a Disneyland custodian from Fontana, Francisco. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Francisco. Here is your question. Created by writer Len Wein and artist John Romita Sr., this Canadian superhero joined a revamped version of the X-Men in 1975.
Wolverine
is correct, sir.
Comic creators.
Nicely done.
You're going to Comic-Con.
Sorry, I already put him on hold. That was
Woo!
On me.
Everybody's very excited. Congratulations to all the winners. I'll see you down there this weekend.
Oh, yes, they're comic creators.
This is live. This is happening. This is not the best of. We're real. We're here today.
Ish.
Yes.
Ish. Okay.
I feel like best of is better.
I mean, just literally my name, too.
Right.
Because you cut out all of this part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, we may need your help on this one because you're the only one of us here in the room, I think, that was raised Catholic?
Yeah, Catholic school my whole life and then Jesuit college. Ask me anything.
Okay, I will.
Oh, no.
What's the deal with, and I know I've seen it in movies, but I forgive my ignorance on many things having to do with Catholicism, but what's the deal with it's a wafer and you eat the wafer and the wine and it's supposed to represent the
body
of
and blood
Christ.
Of Christ. Yeah.
And what's that about? Why do they do that? What does that mean?
It just brings you closer. It's just the ceremonial in it. And you go through classes as a kid, you go through CCD, go through confirmation, you go through all of that. So at least for me in second grade was the first time I tasted the body of Christ.
Okay,
and I stuck it under the pew because I didn't like the taste of it. And then they had to stop my first communion.
Oh,
and it's all on videotape. And they had to stop to re-bless the bread, which I lied and said I lost instead of sticking it under the pew. Thank you, everybody.
A little too much information.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel awful still.
I liked it. But what do they give? Do they give the kids like Kool-Aid or juice or something? They're not giving little kids wine, are they?
Well, yeah, it's not real wine.
But they are very specific about, for the adults especially, about the bread and about the wine that is used for this ceremony.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, it was in the news last week. The Roman Catholic Church has outlawed the use of gluten-free bread for Holy Communion, which raises a whole other series of questions. What about the people who have allergies for gluten? Now they go to church, and what happens? They get sick every week when they take the thing? I don't know.
You don't have to take it. A lot of people just sit there. A lot of people don't get up and do it.
And let's refer to it as take the thing.
Well, I don't know why we're speculating, but we have the world's foremost authority on Catholicism on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go right to the Vatican right now, and let's talk to the Pope, because His Holiness is back on the line.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How's it going?
How are you, Pope Francis?
Hold on a second. Okay, I got some body of Christ coming up. Okay, everybody take it out. Order up. Come on, let's go.
What?
Let's move these wafers. Hello?
Well, I'm glad that I'm glad you know what we're talking about here, because we're very confused. So you can't have gluten-free bread used in the wafers.
No.
I don't understand how come if it's really just a substitute for something else anyway. It doesn't really matter what's in the thing, does it?
No, it does matter what's in the thing, okay? It matters a lot. Because it is said that the wafers, the bread used in the Eucharist, must be unleavened and purely of wheat.
Okay.
So there is no, it has to be in alignment with that creation. So you can't put other things in it to make it gluten-free. Oh, I don't want no gluten in my wafer. Shut up. You just eat the body of Christ, okay?
So is this...
All right, let's get some wafers out there. We got a hungry people waiting for a Eucharist.
Are you running a restaurant right now?
I am the people's pope. I'm making the wafers myself here in the Vatican.
Wow.
I am in the kitchen making the body of Christ. And I make the blood of Christ, too, as well. I'm stomping my feet making grapes as we speak.
Wow. I just feel like there should be other people that you could get to do that. You're a busy man.
Come on, I got to order Adam and Eve on a raft. Wreck them. Come on. Move it out there, people. Let's go. Order up. Order up. What? You stupid donkey. What's the matter with you?
What happened?
The guy dropped a plate of wafers.
Oh,
man. Go on, cheese, mister.
You run a pretty tight
Jesus
kitchen there,
Pope. Make it any more body, okay? Okay, what do you got? What's up?
Just try to, you know, further understand what's going on. Now, is this based on something in the Bible?
Well, it didn't give us the recipe in the Bible.
Okay, all right.
No, it's just been a long-standing rule of the Catholic Church. There's very specific rules about how the wine and the bread must be made.
I see. I got gotcha.
So we want everyone just to stick to those rules and stop trying. It's like you can't say, oh, instead of wine, can I have a mocha cappuccino instead for Holy Communion? No! Those hipster bastards. Get out of my church is what I would say.
There are hipster like Catholics?
Oh, yes. Oh, they come in with their hoodies and their beanies and their thin pants and their beards. Shave and get a job. Hey, pick up this order. I got a linguine sitting here waiting to go out for lunch. I make a lunch for the nuns, too. They like a lot.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you're doing a lot of work yourself.
Well, yes, I am the Pope.
Right. Yeah. Catch up with our old friend Adam Carolla next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Zachary Levi in the 9 o'clock hour as well. It's all about Comic-Con this week, you guys.
Yes, it is.
Very exciting. And a man on the phone has got to be every bit as excited. Paul Scanlon is the co-founder and CEO of Legion M. Have you heard about this, Kevin? This is a fascinating idea, which is fans that get together and create their own entertainment company, a media company that's built from the ground up and owned by fans. And they have been around for a little bit, and they're already doing some amazing things. We wanted to catch up with Paul and talk about a couple of things that are going on this week that I think you'll be interested in. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I don't know if I explained that properly. Did I get it right? A bunch of fans got together and said, hey, we can do this. We love this stuff. Let's start making this stuff.
Yeah, you nailed it. You could be our spokesperson. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, our goal when we started Legion M was to unite fans together as a community, because we believe in what we call the immeasurable power of fans, and that when we unite together and we band together, that we have power and strength, and we're demonstrating that this week.
Tell us what's happening tomorrow night.
Yeah, so one of the... we're putting on an event this week, you know, Stan Lee. We're big fans of Stan Lee, and he's been a real advocate and supporter of our company. And it came to our knowledge not too long ago that no one had really Stan hadn't had his hand and foot imprint at the Chinese Theater, that he hadn't been honored with this.
That when we were first... When we were first told about this, we were like,
that's unbelievable.
What are you talking about? Of course he has. No, it doesn't even make sense.
And that's exactly how we felt. And, you know, with fans as our kind of co-owners, I mean, we're owned by fans, literally. We call it Legion M, and the M has a bar over it, which represents the Roman numeral for 1 million. Because long term, we want to be a legion of 1 million fans.
Wow.
To create the next most influential entertainment company. And so,
and you actually raised the money to get this company going through Kickstarter, right?
It's similar to Kickstarter, but it's next level. So not too many people realize this, but last year the SEC finally updated their securities laws to allow crowdfunding with equity. So up until last year, many people don't realize this, that the only people allowed to invest in a startup were what the SEC deemed as accredited investors. These are the top 3%. They already have $1 million in net assets, not including their home, or they earn over $250,000 a year for the last 3 years. So this is the wealthy elite.
Wow.
And so Kickstarter and Indiegogo were great at, and we're huge fans of those platforms. They've been great at getting people united together into communities and to back projects and to make really cool new companies and entertainment projects happen. But because of these rules, none of those backers were allowed to get equity. They weren't allowed to own a piece of that company or that venture.
Interesting.
They were allowed, they could get a coffee mug or a t-shirt. And so all of Kickstarter and Indiegogo up until last year was really what's called rewards based. You're either pre-purchasing the DVD or, you know, getting your name in the credits or something like that. In our case, we're actually allowing the fans, they own the company. They have real shares that have value and are tradable. So it's
if I invested in you, does that mean when I go to the imprint, handprint imprint ceremony, I get to choose a finger? Like Stan Lee has to give me one of his fingers?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I paid for it.
Well, you know, it's true. I mean, our members in our community, they have a voice. They have a voice in what we do. And we're in constant communication with them. You know, we have a very active online forum. We have a super engaged Facebook group, and we do meetups around the country. I mean, we have volunteers that are organizing meetups. So when we get behind a project, you know, it's because we've got the Legion behind us.
That's very cool.
And this Stan Lee event is the perfect example.
Tell us more about that. When is that happening and where?
Yeah, so it's tomorrow, believe it or not. It's July 18th, and we have organized to get his hand and foot imprint at the Chinese Theater, and they're going to put it in the forecourt where it deserves to be. And we have, instead of, you know, typically these honors are put on by the major studios, and in our case, it's another demonstration that when fans band together, they can do great things. And so we worked with the Chinese Theater. They were great partners to us. They really liked the idea. Of course, they felt the same way we did about Stan Lee being honored with this tradition. And so we went out and we said, okay, well, look, we want to make this happen. We're going to do this for Stan. We want to give it to him for his birthday. He's turning 95 this year. And so, you know, we're pulling it off, and it's been absolutely, like, it's come together in such an amazing way. It's totally exceeded our expectations. You know, when we, you know, ventured into this, we thought, okay, well, this is what we're going to do, and here's how it's going to work. And it's just come together so nicely. We've had fans from around the world just, like, truly rally. And we're doing a tribute book. You can sign the tribute book for free. If you go to the LegionM.com and click on the Stan Lee button, you can go in there and you can sign, send your message to Stan on this historic day. And then there's also, you know, it's completely sold out at this point. But we, you know, we sold tickets. We worked with the Chinese Theater to expand the capacity of how many people can come to this event. You know, typically an event like this would be, you know, mostly just executives from the industry. And, you know, one of our pledges to the world with Legion M is we want to open the gates to Hollywood. You know, we want fans to own a piece of it, but we also want them to participate and get involved.
And in that spirit, we also have a pair of VIP passes to the Stan Lee Icon Celebration imprint ceremony to give away right now.
You absolutely do. And those passes, I can't even tell you how valuable those passes are at this point. I mean, this event has, as I mentioned, you know, the interest level in this event has been extraordinary.
Well, this is a VIP pass, including walking the red carpet, the front of the line access, and we're going to give it away right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you love Stan Lee, and by the way, who doesn't love Stan Lee? Spider-Man, The Hulk, The Fantastic Four, Iron Man, X-Men, he created or co-created all of those, and you are free tomorrow. Make sure you can make it to be there tomorrow in front of the TCL Theater from 11 till noon is when the ceremony is, and as Paul mentioned, it is sold out. Paul Scanlon is on the line. He's the co-founder and CEO of Legion M. And just real quick before we go, and I know this is also sold out, but you're doing a house party with Stan tomorrow night too, so you've given the opportunity for fans to come to a party and get to interact with the great man himself.
Yeah, so you know, because the imprint ceremony is somewhat limited in its capacity, we wanted as many people as possible to kind of partake in this. And we wanted the the after party, which is oftentimes just set in the afternoon at the TCL, you know, with the, you know, some refreshments, et cetera. We said, no, that's not good enough for us. We want to do something big and epic. So we rented out an 8,000 square foot mansion in the Hollywood Hills. It looks like the Tony Stark mansion from the Iron Man movies. And we're having an epic party up there where we can invite and allow up to 500 people to come and participate. We've got live bands. We've got Rob Pryor doing his art. It's going to be the Flux Capacitors are playing. It's going to be just a huge
love. Paul, but let me leave you with this. I appreciate that you want to make it an epic house party. The man is almost 95 years old.
Don't he's like, going to be lit, Bean.
I'm just saying, don't like throw him in the pool or get like crazy. I mean, he's going to jump in the pool. That's Stan. Yeah. Are you crazy?
I got to tell you, that guy's got more energy than most 35-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. He's incredible. All right. Well, listen, we are out of time. It's a very cool thing that you were doing with this company. And I know that, you know, you had a movie out already. You got a lot of other things in the works. We're excited to see what happens next for Legion M. Paul, I'm glad we had you on. Have fun with Stanley at both events tomorrow. And thank you for sharing the story here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Thank you for having me. We appreciate your support.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Just ahead of Ralph Showbiz Beat. Ralph, you don't mind, sir. We got to take care of a little bit of business. All last week, we were giving away tickets to go see Arcade Fire at the Forum in October. And now we have to do a grand prize drawing to send somebody to see the band and others at Lollapalooza in Chicago. So I think we have the winner here.
Hello?
Hey, is this Brian Parkhill?
It sure is.
It's Kevin and Bean calling. How are you?
Fabulous. How are you?
Good. You already won tickets to see Arcade Fire at the Forum October 20th.
Uh-huh.
And we're calling to tell you that you're our grand prize winner, which means you get a trip for two to Lollapalooza in Chicago.
What?
Airfare, hotel, spending cash, 3-day passes. You get to go to Lollapalooza.
What? I'm too old. What?
One more.
Brian's doing his own show.
One more time, Brian.
What?
I like it.
You see Arcade Fire, you see The Killers, Muse, The XX, Lord, Blink 182, Cage the Elephant, Foster the People, and many more. You ever been to Chicago, Brian?
I have not been to Chicago. I'm super excited.
You're going
to
love it. It's one of the best cities in the whole wide world, so you'll be there August 3rd through the 6th. Be sure to say hi to Arcade Fire for us. Have a fantastic time, man.
You're awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
How's he supposed to say hi to Arcade Fire for us?
Hey, guys! Kevin and Bean, say hi!
If he does, if he runs into him, I just, you know, pass along our best. That's all. All right, 7:54, Monday morning. Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
It is a Monday morning. That means we took a look, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. War for the Planet of the Apes was number one. $56.5 million made it number one.
Anyone see that?
I did. I loved it.
I didn't get a chance to see it yet, no. Spider-Man Homecoming was second at the box office with $45.2 million. So it's almost $100 million, over $100 million in the two top films that alone. So I can imagine not a lot left for the rest of the competitors. Despicable Me 3 did pretty well with about $19 million and made it number three. Then Baby Driver, $9 million, made it four. The Big Sick, with almost $8 million, came in at number five. Then Wonder Woman, Wish Upon, Cars 3, Transformers The Last Knight, and The House, rounding out the rest of the top 10 at the box office. Sad news over the weekend. We lost two Hollywood legends. Martin Landau passed away at the age of 89 years old. Besides being the star of Mission Impossible back in the 60s, he also had a hit syndicated TV show called Space 1999 that was terrific, and he did a ton of great work in films as well, including the classic North by Northwest with Cary Grant, then working for Woody Allen in Crimes and Misdemeanors, and then Tim Burton teamed him up with Johnny Depp in Ed Wood, and that won him an Oscar. That performance was insanely good in that film. And director George A. Romero, the man who launched the world of zombies in 1968 with a cult classic film called Night of the Living Dead. He passed away this weekend at 77 years old. Made his career making horror movies like Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. But he started his career in Pittsburgh. He went to Carnegie Mellon and used to direct segments for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, so a wildly varied career for George A. Romero, but a classic. Big news coming out of England. They have a new Doctor Who. The 13th Doctor will appear this year in the annual Doctor Who Christmas special. Peter Capaldi is leaving the role. And the new doctor is a female for the first time ever.
Sarah Abramson?
Was this a surprise, Ralph, or is this something?
Doctor Who, and she's going to get in the TARDIS and just bend over.
Had this been rumored that it was going to be a woman? Was it a total shock? Okay.
Yes, there's a ton of rumors and a ton of actual clues dropped in the series itself leading up to this announcement. So for those who are following closely, it's not much of a surprise.
And I've got no time for people complaining that it's a woman. I got no time
for
that.
Kevin, time travel is no place for women, said one complainer in the Daily Mail
that
in the UK.
That doesn't realize time travel is fictional?
It doesn't exist. Jodie Whittaker. We did not mention her name, but Jodie Whittaker is the name of the actress who has been tapped to play the 13th Doctor. So not only is it historic that it's a woman, but it's historic that there's a 13th Doctor because legendarily he was only supposed to have 12 regenerations.
Ah.
So this is uncharted territory in more than one way. Pearl Mackie will continue to be the Doctor's companion, which would be interesting because she is the first openly gay companion of Doctor Who's. So you're going to have a lesbian in the TARDIS with a female Doctor. So, you know what I'm saying, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's what we're hoping for. Yeah, it's a brand new Doctor Who.
Yes.
Doctor Who-ha. Right? Who's with me? Allie?
I don't know.
One of these? Right?
Doctor Who-ha.
Unbelievable.
Come on!
Unbelievable, Ralph.
Pretty well done. You people.
Now hiring both locations.
Right? Both locations are going to hire. And last night was a big deal on HBO, the return of Game of Thrones. Season 7's premiere was last night. And there, what should you see while you're trying to watch your Game of Thrones? What should just pollute your eyes? Oh, Ed Sheeran shows up. That's right, you heard me.
Oh, that little person.
That little ginger gnome, Ed Sheeran, showing up on your television, playing a traveling soldier in the Game of Thrones universe, who happens also to break into song. He likes to sing a little song around the campfire.
Aww, that's cool.
With the rest of his soldiers. Here's a little taste from last night's episode.
And a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are
warm. It's a pretty song. I've never heard it before.
It's a new one.
It's a new one.
Hmm. Oh, spoiler alert. Maybe it's a little late.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler just Sheeran's on the show?
No, that's not a plot point. Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
It's just, just an appearance, not really a spoiler.
All right.
Not all right.
So, Ralph, you watched...
By the way, speaking of spoilers, I'm sorry. I just allow me this.
Okay.
Yesterday, I was quite thrilled with the announcement that Jodie Whittaker was going to be the new Doctor. I really thought it was a great direction for the series to go. And so BBC released a 60-second promo, which shows a person clad in Peter Capaldi's clothing that he wore as the Doctor walking through the woods, and he's got a hoodie up, so you don't really see who it is. And then they approach the TARDIS appears, and the person drops the hoodie, and there you see Jodie Whittaker, right? It's a 60-second tease announcement for the new Doctor.
Okay. Right.
And so I tweeted out, congratulations to Jodie Whittaker. This is awesome news for the franchise. And in my tweet, I attached the link to that 60 seconds.
Right.
And I got S from people for spoiling the trailer, for spoiling the promo. Your tweet totally spoils the promo.
So they couldn't click on the promo that you
it's
put in your 60 tweet.
They were upset because the 60-second promo had been spoiled by my tweet.
And the announcement had already been made at that point.
A ton. Yeah. It was worldwide news.
It was hard to miss, yeah.
Oh, f*** you. Yeah, that was my response. And people thought I was too harsh. I said, no, you can't. The spoiler world we live in already is way too sensitive. But it's a 60-second promo. There's no plot twist. I didn't spoil anything. It's just an announcement.
Yeah.
It's just a publicity thing. Don't tell me I'm spoiling the 60-second promo for you.
I didn't bother watching it after I saw your tweet.
Right? Why bother? It's ruined. It
ruined the whole
thing.
Yeah,
I know. Your whole night's ruined.
Not even going to watch the season.
Fire must cleanse us.
Right? Burn it down. Burn it to the ground.
We got to start burning some stuff. That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthday is Donald Sutherland's 82 years old today. David Hasselhoff turns 65. Mark Burnett is 57. Luke Bryan is 41. And Billy Lord the very talented actress, but is also the daughter of Carrie Fisher, 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I've only heard that Bean did a podcast.
Oh, Kevin.
I have not heard it.
Kevin, allow me to take you by the hand and walk you through the wonderland that is Bean's podcast.
I can't wait. That's next.
Adam Carolla later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Zachary Levi is still to come. And don't forget, we are giving away at 9 o'clock this morning and every day this week a pair of California Neighbor passes to Universal Studios Hollywood. It's a pretty good deal, by the way. It's a 9-month pass that you can win for Universal Studios. That's all coming up next few minutes here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Bean, why did you do a podcast while on vacation?
Well, he had to take some time off from doing a radio show. He didn't want to talk into a microphone. He wanted to take a break.
So, Kevin, why did you do that? And is it something you're going to continue?
I don't know about that. I guess I'll let you know in 10 minutes.
Okay.
But why did I do it?
Well, we addressed that. We addressed that in the course of examining the podcast, Kevin.
Okay.
So let's let that sit.
All right.
Okay. Bean did a podcast.
Yes.
Because, as I mentioned, he was on vacation and he wanted some time away from the radio business.
Right.
And talking to microphone and production and music and everything. So he sat down and did a full show all by himself.
Okay. All right.
Good idea or bad idea?
Well, here's the thing.
Good.
You know how some biologists will say in an ecosystem, if you remove like a predator or something from that ecosystem, the other species will just run rampant. They'll be overgrown and be too many of them and just it will ruin the entire ecosystem.
Right.
Imagine the Kevin and Bean show. If you took me and Kevin and Allie out of it, what do you think the show would be filled with?
Talk about space.
It would be thanks for that info, Bean.
Yes.
It would be file.
Yes.
It would be all the stuff we try to hem in and keep Bean from doing, right?
Right.
So if you took us out of the equation, it just gets overgrown. It's like just weeds everywhere.
I must hear it.
Remember when Bean was talking to himself when he was leaving that radio station? He's like, so, Mr. Baxter, why are you leaving that? When he would talk back and forth to the songs?
Yes.
Imagine Bean talking back and forth to a computer to start off the podcast.
Okay.
Hey. What are you doing? Aren't you guys on vacation?
As a matter of fact, we are. And it's me, Bean, coming to you from the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington, USA.
Oh, USA.
So he starts talking to his own text-to-voice computer machine.
All right.
Here's some more.
However, fear not, because the whole show is going to be back in studio on K-Rock Monday morning.
Well, we are good if you just stay away.
Hey.
We got this without you.
I don't know that that's the attitude.
Hey, you computer.
Hey.
You saying those things?
You stop insulting me.
How could I control that and stop you from doing it?
That text-to-speech computer was playing the part of Ralph Garba. I don't know if you know.
He loves that.
It's Bean's dream show. Just Bean talking to a computer.
That's true.
That's why he did it.
That's what it would be.
Here's Bean telling us why he did this podcast.
But why am I here? It's not just because I've never done a podcast before and I wanted to see what it was like and I had a free day. No, it's because I have something so amazing that it won't wait until the show gets back on the air and I have to share it with you today.
Whatever.
Okay.
Now,
so
Kevin, you know,
so
you
great.
Know, when Bean says something is so amazing,
yes, it's
that it must be shared.
It's the exact opposite.
Thank you.
It's the most insignificant thing on earth.
Thank you.
Yes.
And he could not wait to share with everyone a new musical artist he's fallen in love with.
Okay.
Called Joker Fan.
Okay.
Here's the intro.
Trust me on this. This can't wait. I must introduce you to the passionate, objective Joker fan. Please enjoy.
The Seven Nation Army seemed like it was a good idea. Who could beat a Seven Nation Army? It was a gigantic army.
All right. I don't hate that.
Right. But Bean, you has usually no time for nonsense.
Right.
And that's all this guy is. He plays piano and just randomly says things.
He seems funny, but it does seem too fun for Bean.
Right. So you know why Bean would care?
No.
Here.
This man has recorded more than 17,000 songs, every bit as good as this one.
So, this guy's just numbers.
Wow.
Right? Sheer numbers.
17,000.
Now you hear that. You hear the Seven Nation Army song, and you say, okay, I got this guy. Right?
Right.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, please enjoy.
Let's get a little deeper into his work. For instance, how about if you love Josh Groban?
Josh Groban, you're so good at singing nice songs, oh yeah.
I gotta be honest. Here's the thing, and this is odd for me.
You find it very entertaining, don't you?
I love this guy, and I would bring this in, and you would yell at me. You would hate it. Yes or no?
Me?
Yes.
No, I would be 100% on board. I love this guy, too. I think he's fascinating.
How much does this guy do you need to listen to before you get his shtick?
I still have 16,900 songs to listen to.
Well, I think you played most of them in your podcast, by the way. I cut it down to, I don't know, a dozen or so clips.
I'm still in.
Here's some more.
When I came across this particular playlist, you know the first thing I looked for is, hey, is there a song about Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift, you sing incredibly wonderful pop rock crossover country song.
I think I did about 4 minutes on the Joker
stop
fan.
It.
I think it was about 4 minutes.
Here's more.
In addition to all the songs about singers, let's go a little bit deeper. I wonder what the Joker fan thinks about your favorite U2 album.
How about that Joshua Tree?
And then it goes on to break it down track by track.
I love it so far.
Well, you'd be happy to know, Kevin, but I heard from him on Twitter, and he's very excited that we're talking about his music on K-Rock.
But we need to take a break.
Well, no, one more, and then we'll take a break.
All right, one more.
Trust me, by the way, if you start going down this rabbit hole, you will see many hours vanish while you're in the magic of this musical genius.
Yeah, I saw my life vanish as I was listening to this podcast. But that was just topic one. There's so much more.
Oh, I'm in.
This podcast, by the way, you can find on the Kevin DeBean podcast page, wherever you get the Kevin DeBean podcast, through the the app on your phone or through Stitcher or whatever, you can find it there. And by the way, I should also mention, not to cloud the waters here, but there's another new podcast that's up that's called the B-Team podcast as well. Ralph, you're going to probably want to go through this one tomorrow.
I think I have the energy or the strength. I'm just that someone else can take that one on.
I might have to take that
you
one.
Might have to take that
yeah.
one.
That one is Omar and Lightning and Dave the King of Mexico with a special appearance by Beer Mug talking about the Kevin and Bean show and their interaction with it. And that's also available both places, but you're telling me we're coming back, we're doing more on
sure, we still need to talk about guinea pigs and fireworks. Right?
I can't wait.
The one time I make an effort for this stupid, stupid show.
And this is the thanks I get.
The listeners demanded it. They needed a breakdown, a live breakdown of Bean's podcast.
Look, Kevin, you asked me a minute ago why I did a podcast.
Yes.
There are a couple of reasons I did it. One is I've never done one before, and I thought it'd be fun. It'd be a good skill set. I don't know if you know the way things are going at K-Rock, but we'll all be doing podcasts soon.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
And the other thing is, and Ralph, tell me if this makes any sense to you. We heard from so many listeners who really miss the show. You got that a lot on social media. Like, when are you guys coming back? I really miss you guys. And I thought it would be just kind of a nice.
You said, I'll show them. I'm going to cure them of that.
They won't miss us after they hear this.
I'll teach
I thought
them.
Maybe just a little bit of new Kevin and Bean like content.
It's not like that at all.
Don't want to put our name on it, is what you're saying.
It's thanks for that info, Bean.
My name on
it. It's Bean Fun Facts.
Right.
It's thanks for that tweet, Bean.
I thought they would appreciate it. I thought they would enjoy hearing a song. And I will say,
drink the orange juice concentrate right out of the can. You need to add some water.
I got different feedback. I got Ralph's doing a great job. You guys stay on vacation. That's what I was getting.
I did hear a lot of Ralph's doing a great job. You're not missed at all, too.
All I heard was, you need to go in there and break down Bean's podcast. That's the only feedback I got.
It was suggested to me by more than one person that the podcast should be called Thanks for That Podcast, Bean.
Yes.
So where are we right
you
now?
You should totally name it that.
We've already been through, I don't know, an hour and a half of Joker fans' greatest hits.
It is about 4 minutes.
Now it's time for Thing 2.
Oh, no.
Moving on, Thing 2. I want to talk about Switzerland.
High on a hill was a lonely goat. Her
No, that's Austria. We're talking about Switzerland now.
Yeah. Well, only someone could have controlled that.
You're having someone play the wrong clip?
You played the song! If you know you're going to talk about Switzerland, wait a minute. That song isn't right. What kind of fantasy world do you think you're living in?
I was pretending that Kevin was on the show contributing.
That's amazing.
And by playing the wrong thing.
Playing
you're
the wrong
like
song.
A crazy
right,
person
exactly.
who starts having the conversations with all of his old friends in the house by himself.
Look, I tried to jazz it up a little bit. Make it a little showbiz. Come on.
I love it.
Hey, no, wait a minute. That's Austria. That's not Switzerland.
Why would I play that?
Talk about Switzerland.
Switzerland is the one with the chocolate. And with the watches and with the bank accounts and as much talk as I hear about Las Vegas being a great convention city, I hear you haven't lived until you've been to a Geneva convention.
Boo!
Okay, fair enough.
And so now the fictional people who aren't there are now booing him. And he's like, oh, okay, you got me there. Okay. It's like a mental patient.
Okay, is Switzerland going someplace? Like, is there a...
Oh, yes.
Is there a point?
But first of all, let's give him props for the big Geneva Convention joke.
Sure.
Because the Geneva Convention, as you know, Kevin, is...
Not in Switzerland.
Well, no, it is.
Oh.
But it was a rule. It was a series of regulations they made about how to behave during the war.
Yes, how to treat
prisoners.
Okay, right.
That was originally written in 1864.
I see.
So it's that cutting edge current.
And he said convention like it's
comedy.
An actual people coming together.
See?
All right.
So, wow.
Still in.
The reason we're talking about Switzerland, Kevin, is because they had this amazing guinea pig law.
What?
Apparently, it is against the law in Switzerland to have a guinea pig. Oh, no, they're down with guinea pigs as pets. You can have a lot of guinea pigs. You just can't have a guinea pig.
So now we go into a deep, deep dive into the guinea pig law, how there's a Swiss company that will rent you a guinea pig if one of your guinea pigs dies, so your guinea pig can have company.
Bean, are you talking to people who you think will one day move to Switzerland and want a guinea pig?
No, I just thought...
Kevin.
I don't want to screw up your clips if you have this, but I just thought how nice it was that they took the time to keep the guinea pig's best interest in mind.
Is this still part of the, this is so big I have to do a podcast, it can't wait?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Bean starts going on saying you can judge a country by how well they treat their guinea pigs, and it is a deep, deep dive.
Okay.
And we get to learn a little something about Bean.
By the way, Donna and I love guinea pigs. We used to have a number of them as pets. We had Wheat, we had Frito, we had Bedhead, and my favorite, Tastes Like Chicken.
By the way, that's not a joke. People ask all the time, like, oh, is Bean really? Yeah, but he does
those
name
all,
his pets.
All real pets.
I wish I had more time to play you all the clips I want to talk about. But
so
I have to move
to
on.
You,
I have to move on
like you enjoyed the podcast,
it's time
Ralph.
For our next topic, which is, 4th of July season-ish, right?
Okay.
Fireworks.
Okay, good. Baby, you're a
fireworks. Oh, hey, Katy Perry.
Oh.
You go, girl.
No.
No.
Come
the freak on.
Here's why he's doing a podcast, because he can be cheesy and not be called on it.
This is Footloose.
Yes.
Updated 20 years.
You go, girl.
Hey. Oh, hey, Katy Perry. Play that again. Play that again.
That's the best clip ever.
Baby, you're a fan.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl.
Yes.
This has been run amok, this podcast.
Right?
Why do I feel like that clip is going into regular rotation?
Oh, please. You know it is.
Kevin, given your extensive history with Bean, what do you think his take is on fireworks? Do you think he enjoys, the action and fun?
Bean hates fun, hates people, hates parties.
Right. I think you'll be surprised by his reaction for fireworks, though, Kevin.
You don't want me going out in front of your house and weed whacking at 11 o'clock, do you? It's the same thing. I can't go outside and just scream at the top of my lungs until your dogs are howling along with me, because if I did that, it would make me a selfish neighbor and a terrible person who would have earned your scorn. So I won't make my unnecessary noise, and you don't make yours. Okay?
Oh, no. You're absolutely right, Kevin. You're absolutely right about your take.
He went
full Alex Jones on the fireworks community, I'll have you know.
It's 4th of July.
Yeah, this isn't daily.
They're not doing this every night.
Oh.
It's one day a year.
But that's my point, Kevin, is that it's not. I grant people the 4th of July. But this
there was
is
a couple days on either side of 4th of July.
This is the people who
fireworks.
Are blowing up stuff on
that
the 2nd, the 3rd,
too.
And the 5th, and the 6th, and it's ridiculous.
That's me.
No. It got real. It got serious.
Did
you hear the tone in his voice?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's ready to take some people out with the fireworks chunk. I wish I could play everything.
I do too.
But I can't, so he was signing off. And as you know, he mentioned you could find him on Twitter. You know what his Twitter handle is by chance?
The guy that discovered Pluto.
Clyde Tombaugh.
Clyde Tombaugh. And because, once again, there were no natural predators to keep him in check.
Right.
He went into a large Tombaugh chunk.
Oh, no.
Including this gem.
And I'll leave you with a piece of tape from a Dr. Tumbaugh TV appearance. It might have been on What's My Line or perhaps an earlier incarnation of that show from way, way back when. But you get a chance to hear a little bit of the great man's voice as I say adieu.
I discovered the planet Pluto in 1930.
This is Professor Clyde Tombaugh, who on February 18th, 1930, discovered the planet Pluto from the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona.
The mic has been dropped. The mic has
has been dropped.
I'm going to put you down as a subscriber, Ralph.
You're going to keep doing it.
I don't know.
I think Kevin is telling you you're going to keep doing it.
I'm pretty busy doing this show. I had some extra time because we were off. But
nope.
Zachary Levi is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. As you know, he is the king of Comic-Con, and he has something very special planned for us this year. He's going to be doing live stuff from the convention center on the Sci-Fi Channel every night.
Yep.
That with guests and the whole deal. So Zach will be in here in just a few minutes or on the phone, whatever, coming up on
K-Rock. Good Lord.
I'm not
You do good work.
I'm not super strong with the details. I'll tell you who I do know is on the phone, the great Adam Carolla, ladies and gentlemen.
Adam Carolla.
Back on K-Rock. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing great. I wish I could say the same for your podcast, Bean.
Oh, Adam, how are you going to come at me like that?
As a friend, uh-huh. If you saw a friend of yours flailing and drowning in a pool of water, would you not help them to swim, or would you simply tell them they're doing a great job until they inhaled enough water to go to Davy Jones' locker?
Of course you would have an obligation to save your friend. Is that what this is? Is this a podcast intervention call, Adam?
That's right. Dr. Drew's in the car with me.
He's
strangely silent because he doesn't participate in these kinds of interventions, but an intervention's an intervention. So he's here as well, and we're intervening, Bean.
All right. So how are you going to help? Because Bean may need a little help.
Oh, he needs help. He should definitely come out to my podcast masterclass that's going on in Irvine Improv on August 5th.
Okay, now this is real, you guys. This is not some Carolla comedy bit. He is spending a Saturday at the Irvine Improv teaching people like you, the Kevin and Bean listener, how to create and publish and maybe make money off of your own podcast. Now, Adam,
I like how Bean said, like you, the listener. Because
it has nothing to do with me.
Right.
Now, Adam, you are in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most successful podcaster in the world. So nobody has ever been more qualified to teach this masterclass than you, right?
Yes. And it's weird, as I was just thinking about it. You could imagine getting hold of me when we met, when I was a carpenter and a boxing instructor. Just the notion of doing a master class in anything would have been insane, but more so something that had never been invented.
Right.
I would have been like, if I could visit myself, if I could go back in time 20 years and visit myself, I'd be insanely confused by every aspect of
it. Yeah, nothing about this makes sense. What the hell is a podcast, and how can you teach anyone to do anything? So let me ask you this. Most people who have dreams of being in show business at any level and doing any kind of entertainment are not qualified to do it and don't have the skills, don't have the talent, don't have the ability. What makes you think you're going to be able to turn civilians into podcasters, Ace?
I am really just in it for the money.
Okay.
I think you can try to teach anyone to play the guitar or to do stand-up comedy or to hang a door, whatever it is, and then it's kind of, it's up to me to sort of give them the best technique and tell them everything I know about it, and then it's up to them and their God-given talent and their wherewithal and their drive to see it through. So obviously you're not going to make anyone successful, but you can certainly show them the path to it. And if they have the ability, then you can shorten the distance between them and success.
Yeah, they need the ability, Bean.
That was the problem with my podcast, was the lack of ability. Adam,
Drew is nodding feverishly.
Okay, all right. Adam, I'm sure you get people who ask you all the time, and maybe even more so back in the early days of podcasting and your success, but is there a number one on the list of things that you tell people is the most essential part of being a potential podcaster?
Yes. The thing I've noticed, and I mean, it's no different than any other facet of life, is people say they want to do podcasting, and I go, good. What, you know, how often do you want to go? Every day, three times a week? And they go, no more than twice a year. Okay, well, how would that work if you wanted to lose weight? Like, how would it work for any facet of your life?
Right.
Anything that you wanted, you know? It's like, you got to go at it full time.
Bean? You can't just do one podcast. You have to keep doing it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes,
okay.
So you need to do it at least twice a week. All right.
With Adam's help.
So August.
No, I'd like to amend that for Bean. Bean, you've done enough.
August 5th, 10 a.m., Irvine Improv. You have two levels of tickets that are on sale right now through AdamCarolla.com. You have the $75 general admission ticket that includes the masterclass with Adam, the Podcast One expert panel, 5 hours of instruction with a Q&A and a lunchtime pitch fest and a course workbook and the whole deal. And then what do you get if you want to pay the $150 for the VIP ticket? How is that different, Ace?
Because B needs that. Go ahead.
Two words, reach around.
Oh, there you go. All right. That's definitely worth it. That involves the lunch and the VIP post-show meet and greet. I love this idea, by the way. You know, there are a bunch of these master classes on how to do screenwriting or how to take photos or things like that. This is the first one I've ever heard of for podcasting, and you're not just doing it through your computer. It's actually in-person, hands-on instruction with the man who knows podcasting, Adam Carolla. I think it's a great idea, Adam. I'm really excited for your fans to get down there and do this.
Thanks, Dean. We'll send you a video link.
AdamCarolla.com for all the details. We'll talk to you soon, man. Bye-bye. Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl.
Dean, please don't do that.
That's the best.
You just dropped by my podcast.
You go, girl.
You go, girl.
You go, girl. No,
you should never say the words "you go, girl."
I think you're right about that. By the way, I think I just learned a valuable lesson. Seeing it from the outside, yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. Hey, a pair of Okay, I don't think we need it again. You go, girl.
Hey, that song is Austrian, not Switzerland.
A pair of California neighbor passes Universal Studios Hollywood coming up in about 5 minutes on K-Rock, and then we catch up with our friend Zachary Levi about all things Comic-Con. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Let's break down Bean's podcast again. What do you say?
I feel like that was covered.
Showbiz. Let's just go back.
I love
it. Revisit for those who may have missed it.
I love it.
I do not want you to do that.
It is Monday, so on the Showbiz Beat, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in the theaters over the weekend. And War for the Planet of the Apes was the big winner. $56.5 million made it number one. Kevin, you saw it?
I did. I loved it. It was really, really well done. And I love those apes. I need to get me an ape or have them have me as a pet, however they want it.
Oh, my God.
Whichever way they want it.
Well,
I'm not sure where we are.
On the Planet of the Apes, yeah. I think that's what happens now. You become the pet, right?
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I'd like Maurice to be my owner, if that's cool. Can I pick? Back to you.
Sure. Now, did you find yourself lost at all? Because you do kind of have to know the prior two films in order to see this one.
Did you just mainline coffee? What just happened?
He's doing his age junk.
I don't know. I love that. I'm just saying I love the
Were
movie.
You confused
I
was not at all confused. Because you don't have
I was not
what
confused.
Could be called a strong memory. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking if he didn't recently see the first two films, he might not exactly know what's happening.
Look, it's well done enough that even if you don't know the story, you understand that there are apes that can talk and might take over the world and there are humans trying to stop it. It's very simple.
Okay. All right.
You know, for me.
Sure.
For my brain.
It's a simple Planet of Apes. The apes on the planet.
And whatnot.
I got it.
Right.
Spider-Man Homecoming made $45.2 million, making it number two. Despicable Me 3 was third. Baby Driver and The Big Sick were the top five films. Then Wonder Woman, Wish Upon, debuted with $5.6 million, making it number seven. Cars 3, Transformers The Last Night, and The House were your top 10 films. This is interesting musical news. You know, Billy Joe Armstrong, right?
Sure. Green Day.
From Green Day, of course. And anyway, he's got a new band.
Okay.
That he's teamed up with Tim Armstrong.
Okay.
It's an interesting duo.
He's Rancid,
right?
And
Transplants.
Plants.
Yep. Right?
Transplants, yeah.
Yeah. So together they have a brand new band.
All right.
You know what it's called?
I'd go Armstrongs.
The Armstrongs is absolutely right. Well, the Armstrongs.
I like it.
They should come out on stage with Stretch Armstrong, right?
Oh,
pulling him.
Remember
by
him?
Side. Remember
Did
Stretch?
You ever stretch him too far, then you saw all the jelly in him?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't murder Stretch Armstrong.
I did.
We're going to need to have a psychiatrist look at that one.
It was just this weird jelly. Gets in the carpet. I got in trouble.
You pulled his arms off?
Yeah. Well, if you, you're supposed to stretch him, right? Well,
yeah,
how much can you stretch
forever.
Him?
Forever.
Well, they didn't say that. On the box.
So it's on them, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, the Armstrongs are a thing, and they've got a new single they just dropped. You want to hear a little of the Armstrongs?
Yes, please.
Very much.
Take a listen.
We're aiming for the rooftops beyond the river doubt. We're arming up, sound Neil on turn and whispers in a shout. If there was ever a time to stand together, if there was ever a time, it's tonight. If there was ever a time to hold your brothers and your sisters in the time, it's time.
I'm loving that.
I'm in.
I love that.
That sounds so good.
It does.
Glad they finally making some good music instead of the other crap they made with those other bands. Finally, the Armstrongs are delivering on the potential of those two guys.
Now, Kevin, are they too old to rock and roll?
Oh,
in your, I mean, they are in their 50s.
No, that's
should
great.
They be allowed to make that kind of music?
That's fantastic.
What is the cutoff, actually, Kevin, when you can no longer perform
when you're
music?
Bob Dylan. That's the cutoff. When
whatever age Bob Dylan is.
When you can't be understood.
Well, that's the beginning of Bob Dylan.
That's true. Well, he right. should have
so
never sung.
So when he was 24, they should have taken the mic away from him.
Right. That sounds great.
What about the Eagles? Can they still perform?
Yeah, they're down a man, right?
They are. This past weekend, they performed here in L.A. at the Dodger Stadium for the Classic West. And the Eagles took the stage, but it was Glenn Frey's 24-year-old son, Deacon Frey, who took over for his late father on guitar and vocals and sang all the Eagles songs that his dad sang lead on and was warmly welcomed by the Los Angeles crowd, this says here in the story.
Yeah, I saw when I watched a bunch of footage of that over the weekend, and it seemed like he fit right in. They had him doing a bunch of songs and then Vince Gill doing a bunch of the other ones, and it looked, by all accounts, like a great Eagles show.
Steely Dan also performed, but co-founder guitarist Walter Becker wasn't there. And neither was the other guy who plays guitar.
Donald Fagen wasn't there either?
No.
So it wasn't Steely or Dan?
John Harrington, the other longtime guitarist of that band, also absent.
Who was there?
A lot of scrubs.
Three filling guys.
Really?
I think Donald Fagen, the guy who sings, he was there. So it sounded like. Okay. But everyone else in the band apparently had an undisclosed illness.
I see.
Yeah.
Wow. That was I assume it was a big sellout, right? Because it was them, and it was Earth, Wind, and Fire, and it was the Doobie Brothers. And,
Bob Seger was there.
Pretty cool event.
Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, yeah, Fleetwood Mac, too.
Journey. It was an all-star classic rock show, and they're doing the same lineup in New York on the 29th and 30th called Classic East. They're going to be performing at Citi Field there, so... Hop on a plane, I guess, if you want to go.
I mean, I guess after that desert trip last year... People looked up and went, hey, wait a minute. There's a lot of money out there.
Oldies.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But none of the Steely Dan guys are going to be there. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
Just say Steely Dan. No one knows. Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Sutherland's 82 years old today. Actor David Hasselhoff is 65.
This is a mess.
No, it's not. It's your birthday. Celebrate, David. Oh, can you imagine how he must celebrate his birthday?
No.
Mark Burnett is 57 years old today. Luke Bryan is 41. And actress Billy Lord, also known as the daughter of Carrie Fisher, is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Frank Gallella from Rancho Cucamonga, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Generally, that is not a good idea, not a wise choice. Don't do that. But it worked out for Frank because he just won a pair of California Neighbor passes to Universal Studios Hollywood, which is a pretty good deal. It's a 9-month pass, good for over 175 days out of the year at Universal Studios Hollywood with the studio tour, the Transformers, the Ride 3D, and so much more. We're going to have our friend Zach Levi on the phone here in just a second. Let's play that tape of him announcing what he's doing back on the Sci-Fi Channel again this year for Comic-Con.
I'm a fan of finding something that you are passionate about. I'm a fan of originality. But mostly, I'm a fan of fans. Because being a fan means going above and beyond. Because where you stand out is where you fit in. Being a fan means being who you are, no matter what anyone else might think. It means owning it, whatever it is. I'm Zachary Levi. I'm hosting Comic-Con's biggest party. And you're invited. Y'all gonna be there?
Zachary Levi hosts Sci-Fi Live from Comic-Con, a three-night event that brings the con to you, starting July 20th.
We'll see you at the con.
Okay, thanks for calling, Zach. It was fun.
Hey, Dave King of Mexico?
Yes, I'm?
How's it going with Zach?
I try to track him down.
I don't see him on the
phone. Here, wait.
Let's think of something to do while we're waiting. While we're waiting for something new to do. Let's try to think up a song while we're waiting. That's liberating and will be true to you. Let's think of something to do while we're waiting. While we're waiting till something's through. You know it's really all right. In fact, it's downright quite bright to think of something to do that's specific for you. Let's think of something to do while we're waiting.
Hey, Dave.
Got my hand down my pants. Does that
yes,
count?
Sir?
How's that going?
Still waiting for him to call in.
While we're waiting, and we're speaking of Comic-Con, can I give out my schedule to
Please.
Folks who are going to be down there
yes,
in San Diego
great idea.
This weekend?
Of course.
I will be broadcasting from Comic-Con on Friday morning back here to the Kevin and Bean Show. So I will be down there representing on Thursday, Thursday evening, I think it's 7 o'clock, I will be participating in a tribute to the late Adam West. They're doing a special event just for him.
That's so nice that they're doing that, that they're
yeah.
carving out some time at Comic-Con for that.
It
for
really
one of the
is.
Giants in the industry.
Warner Brothers, Home Entertainment, and DC Comics is involved with the tribute, and they're getting together a bunch of us to be on a panel and talk about Adam and tell stories and talk about his life and his legacy. And Seth MacFarlane's putting together a little clip package from... when he would Adam would do voices for Family Guy, and we've got clips from the new upcoming animated Batman feature, the last time Batman Adam played Batman. So that'll be cool. That's Thursday. Friday day, I will be hosting the panel to celebrate The Tick, which is the new series on Amazon, which is based on the classic comic book, of course. And
now, Ralph, I have to ask, because I loved the Patrick Warburton version of that show so much.
Yes.
Is it in that same vein? Or
very much
go...
so.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
It is a satire of the superhero concept of comic books in general. But it's because it's Amazon, it's a little bit more adult, a little darker. The big bad in that series is played by Jackie Earle Haley, who
oh,
is a tremendous actor. And he's hilarious as the Terror, which is the name of the villain in the piece. And it's really, it's terrific. I've seen a bunch of episodes, and it's really good. So we'll be talking about that on Friday. I'll be hosting that panel. Friday night is Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith. That's already sold out. We're doing that in the Gas Lamp District at the American Comedy Company. And then Saturday at 1 o'clock, I will be moderating the panel with Seth MacFarlane and the gang. We're talking about Family Guy. So it's going to be Seth and Alex Borstein and some of the producers and the other talent, voice talent. I think Seth Green's going to be there and a bunch of folks.
That
so.
Show has really, really held up. And
Family Guy?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's
the level of quality has not dipped.
We'll be talking about this season's. They're going to be their 300th episode coming up this season.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been
wow, that's a busy weekend for Ralph Garman.
Yes.
Comic-Con.
So if anybody's going to be down there, I'd love to have you come on out to the panels. Or if you just catch me in any of the local bars, help me if I fall off the bar stool. Can you pick me up?
Ralph will buy you drinks, too. If everybody that meets Ralph
yeah.
in San Diego, he will buy you a drink.
Is there a password or just go on
no,
up?
No,
just
you know
go
what?
Up?
Kevin's got the password, so
oh.
I'll be giving out Kevin's phone number.
Okay.
So you call Kevin up, you
okay.
get the password,
sometimes
and then
Ralph
when he gives you the password, I'll give you the
sometimes
password.
Ralph drinks a little too much, but he has his money in his front right pocket,
okay.
so just help yourself.
Just reach in there.
Right.
Yeah, just reach in there.
Hey,
it's deep, though. The money sometimes is really deep in the pocket. I'm saying. So feel free to keep. If you don't find it at first,
yeah.
you just keep reaching.
Keep digging.
You'll find it.
Yeah.
You'll hit gold.
Since we've apparently, fairly Zach Levi's dad, apparently. So
he's
let
not
me just,
dead, Bean.
Well,
sometimes
he's,
things
he's not on the phone,
right,
so I'm
but
just
sometimes
saying.
Things happen.
Yeah, he's probably dead. Right. But I'll just hit real quick what he was calling to tell us about is once again this year, Sci-Fi Presents Live from Comic-Con, hosted by Zachary Levi. It's going to be starting Thursday night through Saturday at 11 p.m. on the Sci-Fi Channel, which, by the way, because of the way cable works, doesn't that mean it's going to be 8 p.m. our time, right?
Don't know.
Okay.
Boy, I wish we had him on the phone. We could ask him that question.
Great, great lineup. Guests include Adam Scott, Craig Robinson, Alan Tudyk, Karen Gillian, Charlize Theron, the cast of Doctor Who, and so much more. It's going to be Sci-Fi Channel each night from Comic-Con. And thanks to Zach Levi for calling in.
Baby, you're a fire.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry.
Come on, show them what you are.
You go, girl.
Make him go.
You can hear the rest of Bean's bonus podcast along with the new B-Team podcast featuring our own Dave, the King of Mexico, producer of The Kevin and Bean Show, Lightning, former producer of The Kevin and Bean Show, and DJ Omar Khan, behind-the-scenes man, audio whiz of The Kevin and Bean Show. They put a podcast together, too, and both of those are available wherever you get your Kevin and Bean shows.
Yeah.
So you might want to check that out. You may not want to, but you can if you want.
A lot of people thanking me for playing the greatest hits of Bean's podcast because they just couldn't get past Joker. They kind of they gave up at
they
a certain
enough,
point.
They got enough and so said, we can't move on?
I was able to give them the highlights.
First 5 minutes it's killed it sweet. For some folks is what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
All right. Yeah. Hey, it's 9:37. It is Monday morning. We are back from vacation. Ralph is here doing the showbiz beat. What's going on?
You know what? You know what's going on? Atomic Blonde.
Yes.
Right?
Atomic Blonde.
Can't yeah! wait. It does look awesome.
Oh, sweet Jesus. There's a big big billboard near my house.
Yes.
Of Charlize, and it's all neon, Atomic Blonde, and I just stand there and just stare.
Do you make that noise?
1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours go by. Yeah. I'm just standing there. Police will come by. Hey, move it along, loiterer.
She is... First of all, obviously so, so beautiful, but so unbelievably talented in every movie she does. And it's so neat to see her doing a role unlike anything she's ever done in her long career.
Except for Aeon Flux, which was a lot like this.
Yeah.
Action true. Film where she kicked a lot of ass.
I can't wait for this. When is this?
This is in theaters everywhere on July 28th, Kevin.
Can't wait.
The reason I bring it up is because we are having a special K-Rock Advance screening of Atomic Blonde on July 25th. So you'll get to see it before anybody else. Charlize Theron, of course, James McAvoy, Sophia Boutella. You know Sophia Boutella, Allie.
Yeah.
From? You know her from?
Sophia, from the Boutella family.
From the Boutella family, yeah. Yes, exactly right.
Great pastas.
No? She was the girl from The Kingsman.
With the feet thing.
Oh.
Yes.
With the feet
yes,
thing.
Yes, with the sorty feet.
With the sorty feet.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
Allie's
got some jet lag going on.
I have such bad jet lag.
She had
sorty
feet.
It hurts. She's
apparently she and Charlize have a relationship in this film.
Ah.
Mm.
Okay.
So if you'd like to go, I'm not going to just hand these out. You have to earn them. Because, you know, Charlize and I have a very close relationship, and I don't want just anyone going to see her movie. I want someone who
Now, when you say you have a very close relationship, how long has it been since you talked to her?
We are very good friends.
How long has it been since you talked to her? Last week?
I don't know. It's not about time.
Week before?
It's not really. We don't judge our relationship by days and weeks.
I see.
It's beyond that. It goes beyond that.
Last year?
It's a connection beyond time and space. It
3 years ago?
It exceeds all of that.
Okay. You did that West movie? What's that?
What do they do in the West, Ellie?
I'm real tired.
Sorty feet. Here's a little trivia question, a little Charlize Theron trivia question. If you know Charlize, then you'd be able to get this. I'll give you two chances to win. Okay. 1996 was a very big year for Charlize. That's when she exploded into the public consciousness. Her two big debut films both happened in 1996. Name one of the two films that she appeared in 1996 that made her a star on the big screen. Okay, 1996, she made two films. That was her breakout year. She had her first two film roles. Name one or the other of those films and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. First five people through with one of the names of those two films will get a pair of passes to see Atomic Blonde with me, wherever it's going to be held. I'm not sure. I was at the Grove, the Pacific Grove. I'll be there. And you'll be there, too, if you answer correctly. Speaking of movies, Monday, we look at the top 10 films at the box office from over the weekend. War for the Planet of the Apes was number one. $56.5 million made it. The top movie at the box office, Spider-Man Homecoming, $45.2 million made it number two. Despicable Me was third. Baby Driver and The Big Sick were your top five films. And Wonder Woman, Wish Upon, debuted to $5.6 million, making it number seven. Cars 3, Transformers, The Last Knight, and The House. Rounding out your top 10
films. I'm a little bit concerned that Kevin has told us that he saw The Big Sick and he saw The Planet of the Apes. You also see Spider-Man, Kevin?
Yep.
So where's the awful movie that you saw over vacation? I know there's something you saw that was terrible, because so far it sounds like you saw all great movies.
You see Transformers The Last Knight?
Yes.
Good man. Now we're talking. Now you're back to form.
All right. I was a little bit nervous that there was some discretion going on with what choices you were making.
Well, I'm in that movie club.
I forgot that's about the movie club.
They all show up and we put on our jackets and we go to the movies. So I can't always pick the good movies.
Was there anything else, Kevin, that you want to confess that you saw over the holidays?
Not that I can think of.
There wasn't that much bad this past couple of weeks.
Right? Really. Okay. But Kevin usually can find it.
Right. If it's out there,
if it's out there, he'll find it. Right.
But we're actually blessed with a whole bunch of good movies in theaters right now.
Because, you know, Kevin's sweet spot is that, you know, the 20 to 25 on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what he usually seeks out.
No, it's more like 14 to 24. That's about it.
It's hard to find a stinker right now, but if you can, Kevin will.
Very impressive.
You guys were on vacation, but you missed it. And we talked about Kid Rock running for Senate, his senatorial campaign.
Oh, thank God. He's going to make America even greater than it already is.
So good. We're going to be so tired of winning. Yep. Because you have one guy with the red baseball cap and the other guy with the pork pie hat and long hair and, ooh, podunk, podunk. That son of a bitch. Well, you'll be happy to know there's even more celebrities getting into politics.
All right.
Throwing her hat into the ring, Caitlyn Jenner has said that she's looking into running for political office in the state of New York.
Excuse me, she married Kris Jenner at one point in her life, so she is not qualified to make any important decisions ever.
Isn't that the truth? The political side of it has always been very intriguing to me, she said. Over the next 6 months or so, I got to find out where I can do a better job. So she is looking at the political landscape and seeing perhaps where she could fit in.
Look, I know the whole intent of the government, the way our country was set up, is that anyone can run for office because it's for the people.
Yeah.
But not everybody should run for office.
Right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Last night on season 7's premiere of HBO's Game of Thrones, there was a little cameo appearance. Turns out that Maisie Williams, who plays Arya, mm-hmm. say Arya Stark, mm-hmm. on that show, she is a huge fan of Ed Sheeran's. And they've become buddies. And so Ed came by to do a little cameo on that show. And he appeared on last night's season premiere as a traveling soldier who also happens to be a little bit of a songster. Sits around the fire with the other soldiers and serenades them.
Mm.
Here's a little taste from last night's episode.
And a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are...
It's a pretty song. I've never heard it before.
It's a new one.
Then she killed him.
Did she? Yeah. She disemboweled him.
Yeah. She said, oh, hey, Ed Sheeran. You go, boy, she said while he was singing.
It still kind of seems like stunt casting to me that would take you out of these characters. Take you out of the storyline to see somebody so contemporary.
Do you watch?
I don't.
Okay.
Did it ruin it for you?
I don't. All I just, right. It just seems all weird. Right. Any word on whether Ed Sheeran found the castle on the hill while he was on the show?
Oh, Bean, no one knows that song but you and me.
It was a number one song. Yeah.
No one cares.
Put it in the
file. Big Ed Sheeran hit.
Even if everyone knows it, it was crap. Yeah. File.
I like the effort. I can't support it.
I don't even like the effort.
Please don't do that.
Right. Now you know what the whole podcast was like, kids. You just have a little taste.
I realized why
imagine
I loved
that,
it.
Imagine that, just long form.
I realized why I loved it, because it wasn't long form. It was Ralph bringing us little highlights.
Clips. Yeah.
And that's magic.
Is it?
It is, yes.
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse
right?
us.
Burn it down. Burn it to the ground.
Do we have an answer to my Charlize Theron trivia question? I believe Eric from La Habra was the first person through with one of the correct answers. Eric?
Yes.
1996 was a big year for my girl Charlize Theron. She debuted in two movies that year. Can you name one of them?
2 Days in the Valley?
2 Days in the Valley, absolutely. She played Helga Svelgen, the beautiful but deadly assassin in that film.
That was a great
it
movie.
It really is a great
film. She was so great in it.
It's underappreciated. It's one of my favorites.
I agree.
How about, hey, just for giggles, Eric, do you know the other film?
I'm not.
From 1996. She was also in That Thing You Do. Tom Hanks is That Thing You Do. She made her debut in both of those films that year. Congratulations, Eric. You're going to go see Atomic Blonde. Hold on. We'll give you all the details. Also, congratulations to Alan and Curtis and Troy and Deanna. They are all going to see Atomic Blonde at the Pacific on the 25th, I want to say. Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Sutherland's 82 years old today. Mark Burnett, TV producer, is 57. Luke Bryan of Country music is 41. Billie Lourd celebrates her 25th birthday. And David Hasselhoff.
You know the Hoff loves to rock.
I mean, he is the mayor of Funner.
Thought there had been some clips there because I'd been all day, and it just seemed like there was a big hole where the clip should go.
I mean, you skipped it a couple times, so I wasn't positive.
I skipped what a couple times?
The clips. You just ran right past Hasselhoff. So
you played a clip every time I mentioned Hasselhoff today.
No, that's not true.
We're when not. Did you not?
Do you want to settle it outside?
Yeah, I'll settle it outside. I'll cash you outside. How about that? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, The Bachelorette Report.
Woo-woo!
Tomorrow with Ralph and Petros. We also have Sarah Chalk and Chris Parnell from Rick and Morty and your tickets for Comic-Con tomorrow as well.